You know, we were looking at John 15, and it talks about fruit, more fruit, and much fruit. And the fruit of the Spirit of God is in Galatians. It says in chapter 5, verse 16, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you should. But if you be led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murderers, drunkenness, revelings, and if that's not enough, such like." Anything like that. "Of which I tell you, believe, as I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." Now look at verse 22. It ought to be marked in your Bible. You ought to know it. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such no law." There's no law against that. You walk in the Spirit of the Lord, you won't be messing with the law. Now, we know the fruit of a church could be another church. We also know that the fruit of a Christian could be another Christian. And we look at the different things, but we also, there's a fruit of the Spirit is what is listed for you in verse 22, Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Now, there's a lot of, we use love a whole lot for a lot of things that's really not love. And yet we do have love if you have a family, and if you have love in that family, that's a beautiful thing. And if you don't have love, it's a sad thing and something that's missed. So what is the fruit of the Spirit? Well, it's love. Love to God, love to your fellow man, love to your family, love even to yourself. You ought to love yourself enough to do things right. You ought to love yourself enough not to get put in jail. You ought to love yourself enough not to shoot somebody or be shot by somebody or go out to the bar at midnight. You want to know how you could increase your chances of living to an old age? Go home. Don't go out to all these different places. That's where they are. And you know they're drinking or their own drugs. And they're trying to commit adultery and fornication. And so it's the bad place to be. It's not the fun place to be. It's the bad place to be. Find some different friends. I had a friend I knew, and he committed suicide, and he couldn't get off of drugs. And the reason why he couldn't do it is because he never changed his friends. When he went to different rehabs, and he'd come back, he was free. He was okay. But he worked with all of his buddies, and his buddies were all into drugs. And when he had a headache, well, here, take this pill. This will make you feel good. Well, he'd be back on it again. And he was miserable, and he finally committed suicide. Now, what he needed to do was change his friends. Amen. He needed to change his friends, and sometimes you need to change your friends. You got some people wanting you to go down the wrong direction or hinting at it or that's something special or something good. Don't believe them. Why don't you believe what God says? Take the word of God and believe what he says. So the fruit of the Spirit is love. That's first. And our great example of love is God.
Amen.
How much greater love can it be than a man give his life for his friend? Who gave his life for you? God. Jesus Christ. He came and paid your debt. Wow, what kind of love is that? I wonder sometimes. I think about that. What a great love. It's a love beyond my understanding. He gave his life to save us. And that's the reason why salvation is not lost. Eternal life, once you get it, and you get it right now when you get saved, if you're saved, then you have eternal life living in you right now. Now, how long is eternal life? It's bigger than I can think. Yeah. I imagine a lot of things, but man, when I get to talking about God and thinking about God, and then I like astronomy, and I looked at this new telescope that they've got, and the distances they're talking about are just staggering. How about the all of the complications and directions that's in your DNA? Wow, and you think that's an accident that came out of a golf ball-sized piece of something? No, you've got to be crazy. God Almighty is just a whole lot smarter than you are, and He's a whole lot smarter than I am, and He's a whole lot bigger than I ever thought He could be. Never imagined it. Love. I was loved by my parents. I was loved by my wife and my kids. I love my kids. I love the... Hey, I love you. Some of you have been my friends for a long, long time. And that's a joy to me. Well, it says that the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22 is joy. I get pleasure to come into church. Amen. Now, you may not. You may be forced to come because your daddy makes you. You might be forced to come because your husband or your wife make you. I don't know. Whatever. But I'm not forced to come. Since the day I got saved, I have been hanging out at church. I remember, and that was a big church in Roswell, New Mexico. They ran 500 in Sunday school. Big, beautiful building. And they had something going all the time. Well, I just got saved. I was wanting to learn anything I could, man. And I worked nights. So they were down there at the church in the daytime. I never did need much sleep, so I was down there. The ladies had a meeting. I'm back there listening. Sunday school teachers have a meeting. I'm back there listening. I walk into a place and they got a bunch of tracts. I pick them all up and I take one of each. And I read them. Some of them I memorized. Man, I was a place I was enjoying myself. Joy. These songs that we just sang. Now, then nobody's going to set us up for the choir of the city. I understand that. But I heard a lot of joy. I heard a lot of pleasure in that song. Each of those songs. And almost any of them that we sing like that, oh, bless your heart, they're pleasure, they're joy, they're fun, they're good. So, how about the fruit of the Spirit is joy? You have joy. If you will lend yourself to the Spirit of the Lord, learn about the Spirit of the Lord, you'll have joy. How about peace? You know, there's a lot of people. Today, we have a bad situation. A lot of teenagers are committing suicide. Now, I might understand some of the soldiers that come back from war and have all sorts of problems. I understand they're maybe not wanting to live any longer under the pain or whatever they are. But it's a sad, sad thing. You know, God will give you joy and God will give you peace. Amen. And all you have to do is talk to Him through your mind. I know you may think, well, the church is the place to pray. No, everywhere is the place to pray.
Amen.
And especially in your house. Even watching television. You're watching television and something comes upon your mind. Talk to the Lord. And it's going to bring joy to your heart. Comfort to you. How about peace? I think the Spirit of the Lord wants to bring peace. I had a neighbor. And he was a little older than me. And he had a son that was sort of estranged. And he asked me about it. He said, "Don't you think if that boy should call me?" I said, "No, I think you ought to call your boy. You're the dad. Still be the dad. I don't care if he's 50 years old and you're 80 years old. Call him up and tell him we need to get together and talk. Invite him to come down." In a month or so, I met him. He was in California. He came home and had their reunion and whatever, and he came over and met me. And that's exactly the way it ought to be. I talked to another man one time, and he had not talked to his own brother. He had one brother, and he had not talked to him for 50 years. Well, that's just laziness. That's just stupidity. You ought to be talking up to your relatives and your friends. Where are you going to get any friends as close as some of your relatives? Man, I love some of my cousins. I'll tell you this. Now, some of them weren't so good, but but most of them were pretty good. And man, I was the baby of the baby. Out of both families, my mother and my father, my father was the baby of his family. So there were quite a few kids, and they all had a bunch of kids. So I had a lot of cousins. And you know what? They treated me all right. Even though I was a young chicken, you know, running around. Well, tell you what, get peace. Get peace. Don't stay estranged. Got something against somebody? Go settle it if you can. You got something you need to take care of? Take care of it. And then trust the Lord and let Him give you His peace. You know what? He can give you peace in the midst of trials. In the midst of all sorts of trouble. Well, little fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. How about long-suffering? Are you suffering long with some disease? Well, the Lord understands. And you can take it. Look at all the people that had gone before you and they took it. Have you thought about that? I think about it all the time. I think about it in the sense that we are so blessed. Freedom? Freedom? I could be anything I wanted to be if I wanted to work for it. Go, wow. We live in a country that is so rich we don't understand that we're rich. You might think, "I'm not rich." You got running water? You got hot water? You got electricity in your house? You got a television? You drive a car? You ride the bus? You're better off than most of the people that ever lived in the earth anywhere. Did you know that?
Yes.
Man, I like my little old car, my little old three-cylinder Ford. It's a little hot rod. I haven't gotten any tickets. But I enjoy driving it. How about long suffering? Did Jesus suffer long? Yes, he did. He went to the cross. The cross was a terrible way to die. Amen. And some people, they have cancer, and that's a terrible way to die. I've got heart trouble. That might be quick. Boom. But you got a lot of things. You got problems. You got things that bother you, that upset you. It take up your peace at night. How about trusting God to let you be long-suffering in whatever situation you're in? Yeah. How about with your husband or your wife? How about with your kids? How about reaching out and taking care of business, of Spirit's business, the Holy Spirit's business, this love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith? Hey, listen, I love faith. I don't know exactly how I got it, but I love faith. I love believing in heaven. I love believing in no more pain, no more sorrow, no more death. That's a fruit of the Spirit. That is a fruit of the Spirit, is that you are going to have this. How do you get faith? You read the Bible and believe it. You know, God, Jesus, when he was writing these chapters in John's gospel, and this is the last part of his ministry. He'd been with these men about 3 years. This is about the last week or so of his life. And he's given them a confidence. And the confidence is that they will remember and remember things right. The Holy Spirit was going to promise that to them. How about that for faith? Believe what the book says. That's simple faith. I believe this book, and I'm talking about the one I got in my hand. I'm not talking about some book I've never seen. I believe it's the Word of God. Do you know what a comfort that is? That is such a blessing. That I can look in that and say, God's talking to me. And I can believe what He says. And I can take hope and joy and peace. Knowing I know what's going to happen. And no matter what happens to me here, this is my future. Now, I don't know what they're doing in heaven, but I'm sure they're not sitting on cloud nine. God is, according to what I see in creation, a very busy man, busy God. He made so many things. And your blessing is that God wants you to know Him. And He brought about this experience so that it could be written, so that you could find faith and trust that God would save your soul and change your life and take you to be with Him forever. And a confidence that you're not going to lose your salvation. He said you're in His hand and nobody can pluck Him out of His hand. Who's going to stand against God? All powerful. And the more I learn about our body or our world, He's an awful smart God and an awful powerful God. And He says, there is no other God. I know not of anybody. How about gentleness? How much of the Spirit of God do you show in the gentleness that you do? Are you gentle? Could you be trusted with something? Now, you got some sweet little babies in this church. And when they're little like that, and that little head just won't go right, I don't touch them. They were Verlaine's, boy, until they got up where I could roll them across the floor. What a wonderful thing to know that I've got a God that loves me enough to die for me and enough to give me life in this time that I live in and give me a book that I can trust.
Amen.
And I have read it over and over again. I don't know exactly how many times now, but quite a few times. I still believe it. I believe what I don't understand. There are a whole lot of things that talking about God and with a spirit God. Wow. Gentleness. Goodness. Faith. Wow, that faith is strong. That's a blessing. Do you believe that God died for you?
Amen. Amen.
Do you believe that He saved your soul?
Amen.
Do you believe that you're going to heaven when you die? Do you believe that's a place where there's no more crying, no more tears, no more sorrow, no more pain? Wow. And do you believe it's a gift?
Amen.
You don't earn it. You couldn't earn it. You couldn't pay for it no matter what you did. You don't earn it by coming to Sunday school and church or putting any money into the offering plate. It was a given. Wow. How about meekness? Now, you know, I'm not sure I understand this word that much because it tells me that Moses was a man meek above all men on the earth. That's That's strange in all the big things he did, and he was a big soldier and a leader and stood up to men and all that. Maybe I don't understand meekness as I ought to. How about temperance? Do you have any self-control? You're supposed to. Spirit of God ought to give you self-control. You ought to be able to get rid of things in your life that are hurting you. You ought to be able to repent of certain things and never have to stop to start them again. There ought to be some temperance in your life. Now, against such, there's no law. All of these things, there's no law. Wasn't even in the Ten Commandments was there a law of that. Now, look down at verse 11. Excuse me. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. How about that for a fruit of the Spirit? That's a fruit of the Spirit of God. You got God in you? When you're reading this book and you claim those promises for yourself, wow, that'll lift your spirits. That'll get you right through the day or through the night, even through the pain. Wow. Now, in John 15:11, he's telling the disciples why he gave them this instruction. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. The Holy Spirit is around for you to have joy. Christ's joy. Well, Christ knows a lot more than us. He can still the water with a word. He can let Peter walk on the water. He can die in your place and save the whole world. Wow. He can pay your debt so that you don't have a debt to pay. I'm free. Free before the court of heaven. That ought to let you get up happy every day. Why are you running around with a gloom and like the comic character with a rainstorm over his head everywhere he went? You don't have to be that way. Christians ought to be the most optimistic and the most joyful people in the world. If you just believe the book, simple things about the book. Now, we know he was talking about vine trees and stuff like that. And what does the guy that dresses the vine tree do? He comes looking for fruit. And if this plant has come up and it's got no fruit, he cuts the branch off. Isn't that something? He's looking for fruit. He'd like to see some fruit in your life. How about some fruit in your speech? How about the fruit of the Spirit in your speech? How about the fruit of the Spirit in your attitude with your husband, your wife, your children, your boss, the people that are driving the other cars on the same road with you? Wow. How about a little fruit of the Spirit there? If we had a little bit more of the fruit of the Spirit, we'd have a lot less problems. And we'd be a whole lot happier. There's no law against things like that. Verse 11 says, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy... Can you think of anyone that would have more to be joyous about than Jesus? His joy. My joy might remain in you. Amen. And that your joy might be full. That's good news. That's good news for the saved child of God. That's good news for anybody that could call it and receive God. Wow. My joy might remain in you and your joy be full. You ought to be a joyous person. I don't mean you walk down all the aisles happy, 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 but you ought to be happy. And you ought to be praising God. You ought to be thanking God. What problem you got now that's so big that you can't thank God? What problem do you have? What suffering have you gone through that has been so great that you're miserable now? Well, why don't you let his joy remain in you and your joy be full? Now look at verse 13 in John 15. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Now this is the words of Jesus to his apostles just before he dies. And he said, there's no greater love. Well, that's exactly what the gospel story tells, isn't it? That he laid down his life for his friends, and he counts us his friends. Now let me tell you something. I got five kids. I have a lot of fun with them. I love them, they love me, and they treat me right. I wouldn't give one of them for any one of you. Would you? I don't think so. I don't think we have the extent of the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. This is the example of love. You may say that they're not very, people aren't very lovely, and therefore you don't love them because they're not very lovely. Well, what do you think he thought about when he went to the cross of Calvary? You weren't very lovely.
Amen.
He said, I want my joy to remain in you. You know, evidently it did. As far as I know, Judas is the only one that betrayed him and didn't die a martyr's death preaching the gospel somewhere in the world. These men went the rest of their lives saying, he's risen. He's alive. God saved this whole world, and you can have it if you just believe. God's going to give it to you as a gift. It's not something you earn. So much religion is about earning, trying to get my righteousness high enough so that I can pass through the gates of heaven, or erasing some of my sins so that I could pass through the gates of heaven. That's not it at all. It's a complete wrong attitude that it brings about. I'm saved not because I'm any good. I'm saved not because I did something right. I'm saved out of all the wrong things that I did, and I still do, by the grace of God.
Amen.
A gift. A gift that I could never earn. And you can't either. You're not good enough. I've seen some people who thought they were. Your joy might be full. Greater love hath no man than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. Why don't you go with me to Hebrews 12:1. Back in John 15, he says, all things I've heard of my Father I've made known unto you. And I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Hebrews 12:1. I've got just about 10 minutes. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, and I don't know who they are, but let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus. When we live our race, we live our life, and we meet the challenges of that life, we do it with Jesus. Look at verse 3. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. When you start feeling sorry for yourself because of some disease, or because of some loss of some friends, or the loss of a job, or loss of health, well, why don't you put yourself up beside Jesus? That ought to make you understand that you have the right, and you have the opportunity to go and conquer these things, because Jesus did it, and he's in you. Consider him that endures such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. And then it says in verse 5, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Look at verse 7. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. What father is he whom the father chasteneth not? What son is he who the father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastard, not sons. Verse 9, furthermore, we have had fathers out of our flesh that corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection to the father's spirits and live? What reasoning is that? You obeyed dad. And it says right here that he chastised you for his own pleasure. I don't know how much pleasure he got. It never did give me much pleasure to whip my kids or whatever, or make them do things they didn't want to do. Look at verse 15. Looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Do you understand that? Some of you got mad, and you're still mad. Years ago, you haven't turned it over yet. And yet nobody has ever treated you like they treated Jesus. Well, if he's your Lord and he's your King and he's your Savior and he's your leader, well, you ought to be looking diligently of the grace of God. Now, the grace of God means it's a gift of God. You don't earn it. But the grace of God is there. Wow, you don't deserve it. How about any root of bitterness? Some of you can think back right now, and the worst thing that ever happened to me was, and you still remember it. Why don't you just forgive it?
Amen.
Just forgive it. Especially in your own mind. Maybe you cannot go back and make things anything right or whatever. Why don't you just say, God, help me to forgive as you do.
Amen.
Then you'll have a lot more joy. Root of bitterness, and many be defiled. Look at verse 22. They came to a mountain in the wilderness, and there was fire on that mountain. But now look what verse 22 says. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. What's your future? You ought to be walking through these streets. I don't care if you have to walk barefooted. You ought to be so happy. You're headed to a city of angels. You're headed to the throne of God. To the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and the spirits of just men made perfect. Wow. Do you know what I am? I'm a just man made perfect.
Yeah.
That's me up there. That's you if you're saved. You're going to be up there. And you're going to be a just man made perfect. Why? Not because you did anything except take what Jesus offered you. Let him save your soul and change your life and made him your Lord and Master. Wow. To the general assembly and church of the firstborn written in heaven. And hey, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. Praise God. I'm going to be perfect. I'm not there now. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Verse 27, this word, yet once more, signifies the removing of those things that are shaken, and of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. God's going to have a big shakeup in the future. The Bible tells us some things about it. A lot of things that we see today, it's going to disappear. Things that are going to hang around are eternal things that cannot be shaken. And you can praise God for them, because that would be our blessing by grace. To Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Verse 29 says, for our God is a consuming fire. Wow. I'll tell you what, I do thank the Lord. I have great peace. I have great joy.
Amen.
And my knowledge of what God gave me in this book, I don't know it as well as I ought to, but I read it a lot. And it's a comfort. Why don't you read it till you come to a verse of comfort and then hang there for a little while? And then go read it again and come to a place of comfort and hang there a little while. Take in the joy. Take in the peace. Walk under the grace of God. As an optimistic Christian, that no matter how much trouble you have in this life, you're headed to a place where there'll be no more crying, no more tears, no more sorrow, no more hatred anymore.
Amen.
That's your future. It ought to bring joy.
Amen.
Well, God bless you.